Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Create a brighter future for your employees with Zurich Corporate Pensions. Trust excellence. Visit zurichcorporate.ie to learn more.
Now, there are concerns that the number of older people facing homelessness will increase since the eviction ban has been lifted. The number of homeless people in the state reached almost 12,000 in most recent figures. 78-year-old Micheline Walsh is 3 weeks away from being made homeless, and she told Today with Claire Byrne earlier today that she does not know where her and her disabled husband will be after they leave the home they've rented for 6 or 7 years in Clonskee in Dublin.
I haven't got time to wait on the list. What do I do in the meantime? I just feel like I don't exist, you know? I try to imagine the morning of leaving and putting my husband in the car, but I can't see where I'm going from there. You know, if you're going to the doctors, you have your an image in your head of yourself going and parking in that spot, walking into the doctor's office. But I have no image after getting in the car. I don't know what hostels are like.
Well, for more on this, we're joined by Ono Brin, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson, and also by the CEO of Threshold, John Mark McCafferty. And you're both very welcome to the programme this evening. Ono, I might start with yourself. And I know you heard the interview with Micheline this morning. What did you make of it?
Well, in fact, when I read the article that Micheline and her son-in-law, David Farrell, wrote in the Irish Times on Saturday, that morning my heart sank. I'm dealing with a number of very similar cases in my constituency of people in their 70s who are already overholding. And in fact, the first thing I did is I reached out to the family in Clonskee to see were they getting all of the advice and support that they needed. One of the things that has concerned me greatly is that despite the fact that Micheline got her notice back in June, at no stage did anyone from the state authorities sit her and her family down and explain what the options were, what the possible solutions were. And in fact, as of Saturday, she wasn't even fully aware that a thing called the tenant in situ scheme existed, where if her landlord is willing to sell to the local authority, they could consider it. Although we've now contacted the local authority on her behalf to try and initiate that. But we have seen a very dramatic increase in the number of people over the age of 65 in emergency accommodation. The overall number is small. It was 175 men and women in March of this year. But it's increased over 40% since Dara Bryan became minister. And I just have a very simple view of this. I mean, there has to be a certain threshold of decency, which as a society, we do not allow ourselves to fall below. And no pensioner, I do not care what the circumstances are, no person who has worked hard their entire lives should face the prospect of losing their home or should be in a hostel. And given the volume of vacant properties, given the very significant resources of the state, the idea that we cannot find suitable accommodation for a small number of people in the latter years of their life, when I listen to Micheline today, and she talked about, you know, reflecting on her own parents dying in their late 70s, that the social housing waiting list, which she's only on since last year, could take years. She was essentially thinking through in her own head, you know, would she end her days in emergency accommodation? That is not acceptable in a wealthy country. And therefore, what I would like to see, and I've corresponded with Dunleer at Down County Council, I've been raising this with the minister, in the first instance for Micheline and Richard, her husband, everything is done to avoid them going into emergency accommodation. But more importantly, let this be an opportunity for us as a society to reflect, to say nobody over the age of 65 should be in emergency accommodation. This is eminently fixable if there is the political will, and we will work with government and move heaven and earth to achieve that objective.
As you say, the political will has been there in that the government has put in place the tenant in situ scheme, which could apply and could indeed help Micheline in this instance.
So my only concern is that a number of us, including advocacy organisations like Threshold and Age Action and myself and the Dáil, have been raising the issue of the significant year-on-year increase in over 65s in emergency accommodation. Now, that's partly a function of the overall increase in homelessness, and no level of homelessness is acceptable. But I have not seen or heard anything from government in 3 years that suggests that they are minded to take the kind of emergency actions that are required. And again, the idea
What do you mean by emergency action?
So, for example, I don't see why it would not be possible for government to say, OK, we'd like to end older person homelessness as quickly as possible. Use the resources of the state, and I've said this on interviews with you before, use emergency planning powers and procurement powers and put in place a stream of accommodation to ensure that those people who are in emergency accommodation, prioritising those in greatest need, who are most vulnerable, who are older, who have children, and get them out more quickly. We had a ban on evictions over the winter, and again, you and I have discussed this before, not a single extra emergency action taken by government during that period. And that's why Micheline Wallace and Richard Griffith and her family are facing this appalling prospect, the same as the woman in my own constituency, 72 years of age, overholding over a month and no idea where to go. This is a small number of people. These are people who deserve our society to say, this is just not acceptable.
All right. So and just to be clear, what you're saying needs to be done as an emergency measure then, it's use emergency planning
Last week, the Office of Public Works came in and gave us a presentation on the provision of high-grade modular accommodation to provide temporary respite for people fleeing the war in Ukraine. Mm. Eminently sensible, and I fully support it. They're delivering 700 units of accommodation. It's taking them about 12 months. It's the first time. Somebody could pick up the phone to Kieran O'Connor in the Office of Public Works today and say, can we now do that and supply 1,000 or more high-quality units, prioritising people who are in emergency accommodation and starting with those who have the most serious medical needs, those people who are older and those people who have children.
But the whole point, Owen, is that it takes about 12 months, or it takes longer than 12 months. I mean, that modular housing that you're talking about for Ukrainian refugees was promised by Roderick O'Gorman in spring of last year. It was meant to be delivered by October last year. Then it was meant to be delivered by December. Then it was Easter. And it still hasn't been delivered.
You're absolutely right. And in fact, one of the reasons why Kieran O'Connor from the OPW was in front of our committee was to tease all of that out. They originally thought it would take 3 to 6 months. It is taking 12 months, and those units are now built and ready to go. One of the explanations that the OPW gave us was the sites that were provided by local authorities were in many cases very challenging from the point of view of servicing and then assembling the off-site modular units. If government decided, and they could decide this straight away, and we've been calling for them to do this since the ban on evictions was introduced last year, if they said, we want 1,000 units of accommodation on good quality sites that local authorities have, and we're going to use the very same emergency planning and procurement and new building technologies, I am absolutely confident within 12 months you could deliver those units and you could reduce the number of people in emergency accommodation, including every single pensioner. The idea that our grandparents or parents are facing the prospect of the final years of their life in emergency accommodation.
I know, and it's apparent. It is apparent, I think, for people. But it's also apparent for people that there's...
The government is not taking the emergency measures.
Well, again, the government would argue that it's taking a number of measures, including the tenant in situ scheme and the cost rental in situ scheme as well. But just in terms of who decides on this 1,000 people who gets into those 1,000 units that you're talking about, and I know older people going into hostels is completely apparent to anybody. And listening to Micheline this morning, I think it was very distressing for a lot of people, the situation she's in. But it's equally distressing, for the single mother of three children under five living in a hostel or in a hotel. So how do you decide who needs what most?
Absolutely. And our local authorities already had a system of prioritisation for allocations, including medical priority and other characteristics of families. The difficulty is that it has become very difficult to move people out of emergency accommodation because what are known as exits from emergency accommodation have plummeted in the last 3 years. And therefore, I think if government was to say specifically in terms of those who have the highest level of need or highest level of vulnerability, age, medical condition and children, could start to significantly reduce the number of people in emergency accommodation.
3,000 children homeless?
We have 7,500 households who are currently in Department of Housing funded emergency accommodation. Far, far too many. That's the 12,000 people. If you were able to provide 1,000 units of additional accommodation over and above what the government was going to deliver anyway through the use of a similar modular scheme as has been used by Roderick O'Gorman, and likewise, if the tenant in situ scheme is ramped up, again, one small point that I think is really important about Micheline's case, no point over the last number of months did anybody from authority bring her into a room with family members and sit down and explain all of the options. The tenant in situ scheme was apparently reopened last April. Micheline has had a notice to quit since June, but only this weekend has come to understand that there is a scheme that she can talk to her landlord about. The system clearly isn't working. And in addition to the accommodation, we have to make sure that the supports are there, are rolled out. And that means our local authorities need to be properly staffed and properly coordinated. But crucially,
the government says that they're funding the local authorities as best they can in order of giving them everything that they need to try and get this out.
The 175 people over the age of 65 who are in emergency accommodation and those who are at imminent risk of falling into emergency accommodation need an emergency response.
All right.
And actually, and it's an emergency response that could be delivered and delivered relatively quickly.
All right. John Mark McCafferty, CEO of Threshold, is also on the line. And you're welcome, John, to the programme this evening. I don't know what you think of what Ona Brin is suggesting there, that modular housing, similar to what has been done for Ukrainian refugees, delivered within 12 months, is part of the answer to this as an emergency response.
Good evening, Sarah. I think it is part of the answer. There's a whole range of interventions that are required, the tenant in situ scheme being another, and all sorts of things in the short term, medium term and long term need to be considered. I mean, the experience of Micheline Walsh and her husband, I mean, that situation reflects the uncertainty and the precarity in the private rented sector. That's multiplied for older people. That sense of uncertainty and vulnerability is multiplied for older people who, especially where they have significant health or indeed social care needs. And this is the situation now. It's not something for the government to consider in 10 years' time or 20 years' time. There is an increasing number of older people approaching us who are in the private rented sector. Yeah, that represents an ageing population. It represents people ageing within the private rented sector, and we require a whole range of interventions. And another area is where kind of approved housing bodies are beginning to kind of specialise in terms of their response to housing older people. I'm thinking of the clan housing within the likes of Clwyd housing, for example. And I think it's important to say that it's timely because we are co-launching research on older people's experience of living in the private rented sector alongside Alone on Thursday. So there are a whole variety of kind of findings and solutions that we'll be talking about on Thursday, which is very, very kind of central to the experience of Micheline Walsh and her family.
And just on that, I don't know, is there anything from your findings or recommendations that you could give us a sort of a preview of now in terms of one or two key things that you think the government needs to look at immediately?
Well, I mean, a number of things have been mentioned already in terms of the provision of social housing. I mentioned there and provision of kind of housing tailored to the needs of older people and supports to assist people to live, to age in place as well. You know, and then further investment in, you know, advocacy and advice services. You know, for example, we continue to provide advice for people across the age range and trying to work to protect tenancies. And I think, you know, there's a mixture of kind of homeless prevention measures as well as things on the supply side in terms of broader housing. But looking at, you know, areas, for example, cost rental, we mentioned modular there earlier in the discussion. But I think there's the key thing here is the sense of urgency that this idea that, you know, the private rented sector is housing younger people or people who are under 50, that has changed fundamentally. People are spending longer time in the private rented sector, and there's a growing proportion of people with health and social care needs in the private rented sector, and we need short-term measures as well as long-term measures.
All right. Well, when that research is published later this week, we may speak to you again then. But thank you very much for joining us this evening. The CEO of Threshold, John Mark McCafferty. And before that, thank you also to Ona Brin, Sinn Féin's housing spokesperson. You can let me know what you think to 51551.